Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 888. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is up, good sir?
Nothing much. I always come in when news happens, and in typical WWE fashion, they announce signing a new deal, making a boatload of money while giving the boot to a whole bunch of people. Because that's the American way, especially in pro wrestling.
Yeah. Could have timed those things a little bit better.
I feel like that was timed.
Perfectly.
Like that on purpose. Yes.
Yeah, because I did kind of see a TKO Holdings takes a hit in their department, so in their earnings department or something like that. So
corporate stuff is always funny because it's not really about how much you make, it's about how much you're supposed to make. Because even if you make a lot and it's not what people think you should make, oh, some people get nervous and I'm like, it just seems made up.
I'm like, hold on, haven't the people that invested kind of figured out that this just cycle happens and that they can stop it by like not participating in these shenanigans?
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of like, I guess we could talk about the releases.
Yeah.
But before we get into it, it's a funny thing because, you know, WWE had a bunch of releases as people suspected they were going to happen. This happens in cycles. And it was the typical thing, like, you know, oh, it's a shame they were using such and such properly. They put up a highlight video. Or it's kind of like, at least they can go to AEW or be nice. Or it's like, well, they're not being used. You want to know how I feel personally? I don't root for anybody to lose their job if they're decent people. But beyond that, I do not care. Like, I could easily come and say, oh, it's a shame Dolph Ziggler got fired. Because it would sound nice. It would show people would think I cared enough to go on Twitter and tweet that, like, oh, he a nice person. He rooting for somebody to keep their job. I already know I'm a nice person, so I don't need to say that. I don't have any ill will against Dolph Ziggler, his politics aside, but I don't care. I personally do not have, because one thing I learned a long time ago, especially involved with pro wrestling, I do not know these people. They do not know me. And they will find a career one way or the other. And it's a funny thing with wrestling back in the day, people just left. Like, I wonder, like, if Ricky Steamboat, when he left the WWF the first time, people say, oh, it's a shame he got fired. They're like, no. He just popped up at NWA. He was wrestling Ric Flair again. Like, I just think we had, you know, what Bruiser Brody went from territory to territory. People saying, oh, that's a shame he couldn't stay and get his push. I'm like, ugh. I feel like the discussion around releases and stuff were different, more or less, because people, it's just accepted people would stay somewhere. And then I think if people left, it was more accepted than people got fired. But like people left all the time. In the Attitude Era, where it's like you see somebody ECW and then they go to WCW and then they go to WWF or vice versa. And it was like, you know, I wasn't, oh, you know, it's a shame to go Scorpio, not getting that Turner money no more. I don't think I was talking like that as teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely there are more places to go now, so that's something of a benefit. But yeah, a lot of these people, they weren't really doing anything, and I mean, I feel like at least some of them at the top of the list, like Dolph Ziggler. I mean, that man has been working on his comedy routine evidently for a while at this point. So I mean, he was kind of out, except for the occasional appearances anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the last time Dolph Ziggler got you know, major TV time was when he was NXT champion. And last time I remember, I don't think anybody was necessarily jumping up and down about that.
Yeah. Because whatever appeal he did have for that time period, it really did seem to have... not that he got it... awful reaction, but I mean, it just was never the same. Like, because I saw how many times, and like, not that I was disagreeing with anyone posting it, but they're like, oh, his cash in was great. And I'm like, yeah, it was, but How long ago? What, like, I can't believe it was against Alberto Del Rio. Like, I'm like, oh,
I think they said it was like 9 or 10 years ago. It was kind of like, yeah, that was a long time ago. It's kind of like the last time people had a positive reaction with him was when he was feuding with The Miz. That was a while ago. That was like a couple years before COVID started. And you kind of, and it's not like, you know, you kind of start thinking back and it's like, he's been there a long time. It wasn't really anything else for him to do. I know we could say, oh, WWE could have used him properly, but I never went on Twitter and saw people say, oh, you know who I miss, Dolph Ziggler. Like, I didn't see that. I definitely saw people complaining, like, when Kofi first won the title and he feuded with Dolph Ziggler, people started rolling their eyes because it was like, Dolph Ziggler, where feuds go to die. So, so now that we have this revisionist history going on, I mean, it's fine. People want to do that. That's cool. But it's like same way, you know, that Shelton Benjamin wasn't there. So, of course, they showed a video. Oh, look, all the stuff Shelton Benjamin did. And I'm like, he's done a lot. They weren't using him. He's in his 40s. They weren't going, like, if they were going to rebuild the Hurt Business with him, they would have done it by now. They decided to go with the Street Profits, so that ship could kind of sail. And I know he was teamed up with R-Truth, and then R-Truth got hurt. So he's like somebody else. Unless you're going to have him in NXT, what are you going to do with somebody like Shelton Benjamin?
Oh.
We're not watching main event.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're not searching out Shelton Benjamin matches. We're just reminiscing about what Shelton Benjamin used to do when they gave him time to do. I'm not rooting for anybody to lose their job, but I'm like, I'm not in control of that either. Like,
oh.
I can look at it from both sides. I could look at it saying, you know, they could afford keeping him and not using him because they're not missing the money. And they could also say, it doesn't make sense to pay people we're not using because we always do this. I don't care enough one way or the other to stand strong in the comment. Like, I'm not a type to root for corporations because that's stupid. But right. At the same time, I'm not always just rooting for individuals because unless they're decent people, if you might believe it's the people, you don't know these people are wrestling sketchy. So I'm going to use a perfect example. When the last time you thought about Fandango?
I feel like I've at least seen his name pop up for Impact Wrestling.
When's the last time you thought about him?
Thought about him? Oh, probably when he got released.
Exactly. 6 months from now, the majority of people on this list, and it's a long list, you're not going to think about. It's not being malicious or anything like that, but it's kind of like nobody should have. If it's people you like, you can say, oh, it's a shame they didn't use such and such the right way. If it's somebody you don't like, it's like, oh, good riddance. Because, like, nobody should have tear when Eva Marie lost her job.
No.
People were kind of happy about that. People probably felt a certain way when Leo Rush lost his job. Eventually, he found a different job. Like, it's. And the funny thing about wrestling is, like, people leave jobs. It's not like it's this whole, I get fired. I can't wrestle anymore. You know, like, it's not like I'm a garbage man. Like, I lost my job as a garbage man, and I'm worried about, you know, welfare and stuff, searching for another, you know, garbage truck job. It's like, they got their 90-day release, and then they can wrestle somewhere else. Like, we live in a time where it's probably the best time since the territory time to be a wrestler to find a job.
Like, yeah.
Wrestling is kind of, you know, I know the internet don't like hearing that. Pro wrestling's doing kind of well these days.
Money
popularity.
I think people think or mistake, like, the popularity. Like, there's this weird, yeah, there's kind of this popularity gap in there where it's maybe not as hot as wrestling was for a while, but I think it's still, like, it continues to be, like, just overall accepted more.
Let me put it this way. WWE have been getting consistent sellouts since, like, what, last year? Like, they're getting between 9 and 13,000 people on Raw and SmackDown every damn week. They're getting between 5 and 10,000 people for house shows. And that's been a thing for almost a year now. And
yeah.
I cannot remember the last time it's been that consistent since probably, what, Ruthless Aggression era? Like, you had spots where it's been hotter, but not like that long ago. And it's kind of like,
yeah.
USA just gave them $1.4 billion for SmackDown. Like, 40% raise during a time where a lot of networks and TV people are trying to cut back. Like, we have a strike right now because people complain about, you know, the streaming bubble being burst and you can't pay anything. And before, the argument was, if it wasn't live sports, the money wasn't there. I guess pro wrestling counts as live sports because the last three TV deals, they've been getting more money than people thought they would get.
Yeah, and obviously they have kind of skirted around the whole, writer strike situation.
Yeah, right, Schmeit. They just ad-libbing.
We're booking. We're not writing.
We're not writers. We're just, I don't know, like, Jesse Ventura are mad at us, but it's, I would just say they navigated the pandemic, you know, COVID and post-COVID as far as entertainment a lot better than a lot of companies, especially entertaining companies, have done. Because if people had made the comment, if COVID would have happened in the Attitude Era, WWF and WCW would have went out of business. Like, it would have been like, it wasn't no technology for no damn Thunderdome, and I don't think you're going to watch Nitro with no crowd in, like, 1998 when we got other things to do. So, yeah, but it's kind of like, on one hand, you see the success they're having, and of course, it's like things are different with TKO being in charge compared to, like, Vince McMahon. And I've heard the stuff saying, if they decide Vince McMahon's a liability, they're going to kick him off the board. I believe that when I see it, but this is like the first time that he actually has a boss. But at the same time, it's like, it's a lot of these names, people say, oh, it's a shame they didn't use Shelton Benjamin, right? And it's like, you've been saying that for how many years?
Oh, yeah. It's, for a lot of these people, it's just too late. Like, I honestly, like, the one name that caught me, I'm like, Aaliyah, I'm like, that woman has had a job and not been on TV for almost her entire main roster run.
Most of her run. Like, she was in NXT for a long time. She finally made it to WWE, surprisingly. Her and Raquel win the tag team titles. She gets hurt and she vanishes. Besides the fact that the women tag team title scene is just be cursed. But it's like, I would just say, because like some of the people, you know, Mustafa Ali is the one that's been wanting to leave for the longest. And he probably gets a chance to leave. But, you know, Ulysses Leon, Top Dollar, Dana Brooke, Elias, Riddick Moss, Emma, Rick Boogs, Mason Mansoor, you know, Quincy Elliott, and a list of NXT people I never heard of. It's some where it's kind of like, the writing was on the wall. Like, Dana Brooke is kind of like, they tried everything with her. They could have kept her, but like, especially with the women, they have so many young women and so many new women there. They can be very picky with who they keep and not keep as far as women. It's not like this whole, who's going to replace Dana Brooke?
Oh.
They can find.
Yeah, that is not a problem that they have currently. Like,
we can find a blonde with abs that can do a flip. We got about five of them in NXT, not even counting the ones on the main roster.
Yeah. Right. We got a lot of better options. Because, I mean, yeah, she was even trying to do the This Is My Redemption stuff in NXT recently, and I'm like, you're failing at this redemption stuff. Like, it's kind of funny that her and Baron Corbin were almost doing the same gimmick at the same time in the same location.
Yeah, and Baron Corbin was doing a lot better than her because the NXT crowd likes Baron Corbin because he's in a way that they don't like Dana Brooke, even though they both started in NXT. I think it was just I think Dana Brooke's thing was she got to the main roster too soon, and then she was always playing catch up, and that just happens. I always say this when it comes to wrestlers, like in release and everything, as far as like, did people get a chance or not a chance? Most of the time, not all the time, I want to say 85, 90% of the time, If a wrestler's supposed to make it, they're going to make it. It may not be the time it's supposed to. It may take a lot longer than it should, but they'll make it unless it's like three things that hold them back: drugs, injuries, or racism. For the most part, if those aren't issues, you're going to make it if you're supposed to. Like, you may not be exactly where people think you are, but it's very few people. It's kind of like, oh, you know what? They were here, and they never really got it. They didn't get a chance to make it, and it's the same. They didn't make what they're supposed to make. Like, you could say, like, Claudio Castagnoli, if you want to say that. Before the whole list was always Shelton Benjamin, that was racism. Or people could say he couldn't cut promos. But it's like, it's always kind of like, you could say, oh, it's a shame Arn Anderson was never world champion, but like, Arn Anderson had a long-ass career. It wasn't like Arn Anderson was just a jobber that never made it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that is definitely one of those things with, even if Ziggler's career didn't really end on a great note, they were like, that was another Twitter one that I saw that was 19 years. Like, I wouldn't have known, I guess, but that's a long ass time to have a single job.
Yes, like, you think about him and the Miz and Kofi Kingston, then you realize how long they've been, and then you compare it to somebody like, I know people talking about like John Cena and Randy Orton, but like, compare it to The Rock.
Oh,
like, The Rock was what, 6 years?
Something in that vicinity.
No, like, you're talking about Steve Austin being a grizzled veteran. It was like, Steve probably had, even if you count his early stuff, maybe 13 years at most. That's if you count everything. Like,
yet, years active for wrestling for The Rock. Well, it says 96 to 2019, but it also has acting starting in 99. So yeah, his career was not that long in the WWE.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, at most, if you made it a decade, that was considered a long-ass time. It was like, you kind of got spoiled by, like, The Undertaker and Triple H and Shawn Michaels. It's kind of like, that's not normal.
Yeah, I think people, yeah, it is kind of wild that those guys lasted that long. People always want that, but it so rarely happens.
That was a normal career. D'Lo Brown.
No.
That's a normal WWE career. Like, you get 6 years, five to seven years, and you go somewhere else or you age out. Not this whole, I was here 27 years, I was here 18 years. Like, you're going to look at The Miz one day and be like, damn, the 30th anniversary of The Miz wrestling. And we're going to start feeling old as hell, start counting the days.
Like, I wonder, I guess now you make me wonder what his number count really is.
I mean, Shelton Benjamin, they just talking about his 20th anniversary this time this year. It's like, yeah, it wasn't a consistently 20 in WWE, but it was like, he wrestled for 20 damn years. And you're like, where did the time go? So it's kind of like, kudos to him. He'll probably be a WWE Hall of Famer. If he wants to go to New Japan, I know, if he wants to work somewhere else, he can, because there's always Japan. Of course, it's AEW. People scoff at Impact, but Impact exists. Like, people have jobs there, seem to, like, thrive. Like, I don't watch Impact Wrestling anymore, but I know they talk about investing money to improve their TV and their, like, you know, production. And the fact that Trinity is the women's champion there when she could have just been enjoying life, like,
The women's division is definitely something that I wish I had some access to Impact for. Everything else, not sure that I care. But
yeah, I mean, it's funny. Impact Wrestling and women's division have gone hand in hand for as long as I remember Impact existing. Like, they were doing women wrestling well before everybody else was, as far as America, it seems to be.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to pretend that, like, I feel sorry for Emma. Like, I didn't root for Emma to be fired, but I can't remember the last time I thought about Emma wrestling. Like, maybe her and Riddick Moss will get married and work somewhere else. Like, I don't know them. I can't pretend to say, oh, you know what? I'm just sitting here on a Friday night. It's a shame I didn't see a Riddick Moss match. I mean, I could put, who I'm going to pretend to. I'm going to go on Twitter and lie about that too. So somebody can say, oh, he cares? Like, it's a lie. Like, I'm going to say that to care. I'm just doing that to perform. I don't need to do that. And at the same time, I don't need to be an asshole saying, like, oh, I never liked him anyway.
Yeah, fuck that person.
Yeah, like, I remember when Iconics left, and it's kind of like, I felt more sorry for Billy Kay than I did for Peyton Royce, because, one, Billy Kay came off like an ally, and Peyton Royce was called those monkeys. If it's a Jackson Riker type situation, fuck them. Like, I don't have to, like, you know, somebody lost their job. I'm like, lose their jobs every day, B.
Yeah, that is unfortunately an all too common occurrence.
No, like, I have more concern my friends go through stuff because I know my friends, I actually care about them. These people are strangers, and I'm always remember that wrestlers. I know the independent contractor thing is kind of a myth because it's like kind of stuck to where you are, but yeah. We grew up in an age where it's like wrestlers just wrestle, and when they were done one place, they went somewhere else. That's just how it worked. And at least now you have options, because back in the day, you didn't have WWE. It was like, Impact ain't got no money for you. You hoping you can make some indie money or ROH money, or you're going to be slinging dope. Like, so at least now, like, AEW can't sign everybody, nor should they. But it's like, if you can, I've seen people who have no business still wrestling, wrestle, getting jobs. Yes, Enzo Amore. I'm talking about you. So,
yeah, I mean, he is still out there doing his thing somewhere. So,
I saw that doofus of an NWA champion just retire, desecrating that belt for too damn long. And it's like, look, Billy Corgan just wanted to light money on fire. He could light it on. He could spend it on some better people. That piece of garbage. So. So, yes, it is money to be made and found in professional wrestling. I wish goodwill to all these people, and kudos to people who did not lose their jobs. I'm sure there's going to be some more cuts and stuff, and you can argue about.
Well, I think that was one of the more interesting, like you said, like most of these weren't shocking cuts. Like, I don't know if that kind of numbed us out. Like, it was. To me, it was strange during the, because I guess it was mainly the pandemic era there, right? Where we were getting like the Bray Wyatts and the Braun Strowman's cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
somebody have a match on Monday and then get fired on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Aleister Black situation. We have a grudge match on Friday. Gets cut Tuesday.
Yeah, that was wild because you just kind of thinking like, oh, what? They're just keeping 10 people. And it's funny. Like, I forgot all about that. Like, yeah, Braun Strowman, like, the people getting released, is like, wait a second, Braun Strowman? He was world champ. Like, he's just streams WWE, and it's like, they're really out here cutting the budget.
Yeah, so, and I think that all of our discussion is kind of surrounded that, where all these people, it's just like, they've either been there too long, and they're just never going to get that type of push anymore, like, you know, the Shelton Benjamins and Ziggler's, and even Mason Mansoor, and yeah, Dana Brooke, like, they've definitely had their chances. The other ones were people that, like you said, like, we don't really know them at all. Like, that just seems like, hey, we got a bunch of good rookies here in NXT anyway, so yeah. You guys weren't performing as well as the other ones.
All the NXT people, Yolis Leon is the only one that surprised me because they didn't get rid of both of them. And it was like they had a thing where those two and Nathan Frazier and Dragon Lee, I think maybe the fact because Dragon Lee may be going on the main roster, that might have kind of been the nail in the coffin. Like, Mason Mansoor thing was when they were doing Maximum Models, that was awesome if you watch YouTube.
Oh, right.
To, like, watch online to see it. Once Maxine Dupri left, that was a wrap. And it's wild how that storyline, you think it go from Otis joining them to her joining them. And yeah, they became a victim of, like, storylines.
Sometimes it happens. Yes.
So the rest of them, like Quincy Elliott, like, once those tweets came out, yeah, that was a wrap.
Oh. What did? Oh, I kind of remember, vaguely remember that story now.
Some vile ass stuff that you do not need to search out. We'll just leave it at that. It was like the
Oh,
right,
okay.
once that happened, the right was kind of on the wall because he was getting pushed, and then he stopped getting pushed, and then it was
Yeah,
like, man.
there was a sudden halt to Quincy Elliott sightings on NXT, and yeah, I think I might have seen it then and forgot it between then and
Yeah, I would
now.
tell any wrestler, scrub your social media the moment you get signed. Tweet like John Cena, just platitudes or highlights.
Motivational
Yes.
comments.
Because how many times will that come and bite you in the ass? And it just never. And it's so many people whose careers have been lit on fire because of their tweets. And it's like, if you're not Randy Orton, don't try it. Like, if you're not established, like a big name where you can brush it off, don't do it. It never ends well. It, like, never ends well. Like, it's a funny thing thinking about people got released. Like, Top Dollar gets released, but they keep the other two. And
Yeah, like
I would think they would get rid of all, if they won't get rid of them, get rid of all three. Because I remember Hit Row coming back and not coming back with Swerve, and it's like, yeah, this is not the same. Like, you cannot do Three's Company without Jack Tripper.
I feel like they, what's his name? Oh, Adrian, but hold on. No.
Ashanti the Adonis is coming back.
Ashanti, that's what it
Yes.
was. I guess I always thought that he seemed to have more wrestling potential than the others, because B-Fab, just the very, very limited chances she had on TV did not go well.
I mean, but I don't think they train her to wrestle.
Oh.
So, like, she never, like, I can't remember her having a match. She was just out there rapping. And it's like, if you're going to be the hype person and manager, that's fine. But it's kind of like, that's a group that did not work. Like, you
No.
forget. It's amazing
Yeah.
how different a group looks without Swerve. And
Yes.
you don't pay it any mind because they work together as a team until you remove him. It's like, oh, because I remember when they first came back without him, the first time she up on SmackDown, like, yeah, this ain't gonna, man, this ain't gonna make it.
Yeah, that ship really got sunk when Top Dollar had that very noticeable
I mean,
botch that Michael Cole never let go of.
oh, look, it's Flop Dollar. Like, when you got the head announcer of WWE gleefully mocking you every single time you come out to the point where you're like, this man gonna shoot Michael Cole. Like, you just know it's not, because not like Swerve wasn't just like the charismatic leader and like, the had the most presence. He was the best wrestler.
Oh, yes.
Like, Top Dollar was fine when you when it was like, you see him for 30 seconds in NXT, do some power moves, do some agility, but having him be a ring general is like, they are not doing him any favors at all. And it's one of those cases where, and I'm glad they kind of cut that out, pushing people too soon. Like, NXT had a bad reputation, either taking way too
Oh.
long or pushing people far too soon.
Yeah, they did maybe seem, well, everyone except for Swerve could have used the call up. The other three could have definitely used more time in NXT.
It's funny how what NXT becomes now, where it's like officially the third brand, because I know I should be used to it by now. The fact that Becky Lynch is just the NXT Women's Champion and it's just accepted is wild, because it's like she's probably the second most popular person in that damn company. And their ratings have been the best since 2021. As soon as she goes back, for all the people that act like Becky Lynch isn't important. It's like she goes there and they get 200,000 more viewers just from her. And she's just there, just, being a workhorse because she has nothing to do. And it's just, that's Becky Lynch.
Well, I mean, it is hilarious that something really great is coming about the WWE keeping her and Rhea Ripley apart from having a feud. And they're like, yeah, we're punting this thing until WrestleMania. So, Becky, go do your thing down in NXT.
I mean, it's working because she has a lot. She's worked with almost everybody on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
So she really doesn't have anybody to wrestle anymore except for like Rhea Ripley. She can wrestle plenty of people in NXT, and they will all be better off for it. And it was a storyline like that was the one belt I didn't win, and now she won it. And it's just amazing how they've incorporated NXT in the Raw and SmackDown, like organically.
Yeah, that was one thing that when we were sitting at Payback, and that whole situation came up because Stratton, you know, brought that up in her promo there. Like, I guess I was not expecting Becky Lynch NXT champion at that juncture.
You know,
it is pretty wild.
It was wild because when they announced the match, I'm like, Becky gonna win, because I cannot see Trish Stratton beating Becky Lynch clean. Like, but it's wild because it's kind of like, I guess Tiffany, you know, they're gonna have their rematch. Becky will probably win again, and then Tiffany Stratton gonna be on what's, I would say, SmackDown, because I do not want her on Raw around Nia Jax.
Oh my gosh!
We'll talk about that later, but it's kind of, like Tiffany Stratton obviously has next up. I would have thought they would have had her get some more work in, but I don't really think she. I don't think she needs it. Like, she can kind of like get that working on the main roster. Like, she definitely is. That whole, if I made a WWE woman wrestler in a lab, one of those choices would look like her. So,
definitely would have been joked about a lot more had Vince hired her and she had not had any skills whatsoever.
No, the fact that she has skills and has learned so quickly, and at the same time being humble enough to say, I need to work on the stuff I need to work on, it's like they picked very well. So, yeah, I love watching NXT because it's fun. Like, where else could I see a main event with Becky Lynch in a tag match on the same show with people playing dice? And I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is definitely a BET. I like Shawn Michaels must be watching BET because these jokers out here just slinging dice, and it does not feel cringed or like it feels natural in a way that it should not feel natural, because we have talked about how black people been booked in wrestling. A lot of times it's kind of like, ugh. I've never done that in NXT. It just always feels right in a way that's weird. Like stuff like Metaphor with Noam Dar pretending to be Morpheus while doing his Damian Priest voice, and I'm like, this is just hilarious for no damn reason. Like, why is this? And everybody's going along with it. Like, NXT is perfect because they have serious matches where you're like, oh, did Von Wagner die? But then you can laugh at, like you can't take too seriously with a show with Booker T as the color commentator. Like,
oh my gosh. That is a whole different animal.
Like, but you know what? I'm like, Booker T NXT does not bother me more. Like, you know what? NXT is supposed to be ridiculous. He's ridiculous. It fits. And he has this weird chemistry.
Him and Vic have this love-hate relationship that is somewhat hilarious to me. Yeah. Just because, like, almost every week there's something that just Vic just goes off the deep end. Like, I just said that. I was agreeing with you. Or, like,
oh, I hear it, dog. And then it's lasted off. It's like, Booker T's not malicious even when he's hating on people. So it's kind of like, even if you're mad at Booker T, you're not going to stay mad at Booker T. It's like, it's just fun. Like, and it's funny, out of all the shows that I watch, and it's mostly been Raw and NXT because I have DirecTV, and DirecTV and Fox have been beefing for about 2 months now. So I have not watched. I haven't watched SmackDown in quite a while, besides the highlights.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I will not even tell you how angry I was on Friday on Twitter when I found out that the fucking Rock came back. And I had to see clips. So, but. But no, it's kind of like, you know what you get with NXT. Like, you will get good matches, you'll get goofy storylines, and you get to see the superstars of tomorrow today wrestling with the superstars of today. Like, and you'll get people doing double duty. Like, I know Dominic Mysterio is getting a whole bunch of frequent flyer miles.
Oh. Everyone just loves to hate him. And
it's just fun.
They are getting a ton of mileage out of that. Because he... because wasn't it this week on NXT that they were talking about whether Mommy actually likes him or not?
Yes. And the whole thing, like, I think she really liked Jey Uso. And boy, the face he made is just... The way they incorporate those, like, the way they've been using the Usos is they try to figure out what to do. Like, it's a reason why SmackDown's getting all that money. And Roman Reigns needs to get the big-ass check.
Uh-oh.
Because y'all can say what you want about him being stale and everything. It's kind of like, I remember how SmackDown looked before, pre-COVID, before he showed up. And it was kind of like, it had its peaks and valleys. Like, it had the AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan era. You had Kofi Mania. But most of the time, it was like, it's a show that had good wrestling that nobody cared about. Like, Raw was the flagship.
Oh.
Ever since Roman Reigns went back to SmackDown, SmackDown has been the flagship show. Like, to the point where, like, Raw was, like, they had to rehabilitate Raw. Like, SmackDown was the A show. And,
yeah. I mean, it still is for the most part.
It is. It's kind of like, you just think about, they had The Rock show up to SmackDown, to a random SmackDown, because he had to be in town because he wanted to watch Deion Sanders. And Pat McAfee's like, oh, I'm going SmackDown. You want to go SmackDown with me? Sure. Like, he didn't go to Survivor Series when they had a whole celebration for him. He had not, I was going to wrestle Roman Reigns, but something fell through. But I'm going to show up in Denver just because.
Yeah, talked about it earlier in the week, worth reiterating. I mean, I understand that reaction. There is, I guess I know that people started to realize that at least The Rock was in town because he was doing Pat McAfee's radio show that was in Boulder there. But, you know, it's not like when you bought your tickets to SmackDown, you know, however many months ago, that you had any notion that The Rock was just going to decide to pop in to the show that you were at.
Can you imagine you bought those tickets 3 or 4 months ago, and then you get there and you see The Rock and John Cena on the same damn show hugging each other? And I know people talk about, oh, they're only doing it because of the strike. I'm like, do you really think they need the money? Oh, you think they're like, oh yeah, I gotta pay for my daughter's braces, so I'm gonna show up on SmackDown. Like, what are you talking about?
I can't. I need to give Ava some more money. She's not making enough on her own.
Oh, you know, John not getting those peacemaker checks, so that's why he showed up on SmackDown. I'm like, I have seen John Cena. Like, I watched Total Diva. John Cena's house has an elevator in it. He's not worried about money.
That, I mean, he did, on that program, he seemed pretty smart with his money. Like, I know that he kind of had a decked out house, but it was also kind of reasonable for a decked out house, you know?
Like, John Cena probably made a lot of money because he was there he was the top guy for a long time, and he sold a whole lot of t-shirts. So not even counting the money he's made in Hollywood, because I don't know if people realize with John Cena, he works a lot. Like, I know he had that Jackie Chan movie that's on, I want to say, Amazon? And he just had a sequel to a comedy movie on Hulu. I think he got another movie coming out where he's, like, running for the president on Amazon Prime. Not even counting Peacemaker or any of the other movies he has coming out. Like, he had, you talking about The Rock always working. John Cena's like, you know what, I'm going to take lessons.
Well, and there's that, and there's also him. What is he the voice for? At least I know there's two companies, because it's Honda?
Might be. speak, because I
and know Experian. Like, he has at least two. And Hefty.
Like, he was just in the Ninja Turtles movie. Like, he don't need to be messing around with Grayson Waller. He's doing that because he really loves WWE. Yeah, that take love, because it's like, I was this whole, he gonna come back for at least 2 months. I'm like, great. Why? Not like mad that he's doing it, but just, is he that bored? Does he like wrestling that much? I guess he do like wrestling that much.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot really say that that man is not genuine at this point. Like, if you thought that, I mean, I know that those Rock promos did not go the way that he wanted them to, but also, I would say that he seems to find his way back to wrestling a little quicker than the Rock does.
Yeah, the Rock is like, I get in where I fit in. And it's just funny for, like, I know people talk about LA Knight getting Attitude Era pops, and LA Knight gets loud pops, but I'm like, there's a difference between LA Knight getting a loud pop and the Rock getting the pop. And that's no offense to LA Knight. Like, there are levels to it. And it's,
yeah.
And I brought up the Rock for us and LA Knight for a specific reason. Because normally I'm at the age where I don't get annoyed by wrestling tweets 95% of the time. I like people to, it's an opinion. Even if you don't agree with it, it's just whatever, you can ignore it. I got annoyed today because it was somebody quote tweet on my timeline. I wouldn't even saw it because I don't follow the emails anymore. And I guess it was an argument about how regular fans, like non-wrestling fans, didn't know who Orange Cassidy was or Famous, stuff like that. And no. I mean, they made the thing like most, besides like The Rock, John Cena, Stone Cold Steve Austin, most people don't know who WWE, like non-wrestling fans who don't know who WWE stars. It's like, person on the street don't know who, I grudgingly agree with that for the most part. But the example he used is for comparison to Orange Cassidy was Roman Reigns. He said the average person on the street did not know who Roman Reigns was. And if you just saw the look on my face when I read this. Like, oh, y'all mad because he's right. And I'm like, are y'all serious? Roman, mister, I've been on ESPN First Take multiple times with the belt. I've been on Good Morning America. I've been on ESPN's College Game Day. I've been on the damn Tonight Show. I was in a Fast and Furious movie. That Roman Reigns, nobody knows him. Only wrestling fans know him. I've been the world champ on SmackDown for 3 damn years. And every time you go by a WWF sign, you're going to probably see my face. Only wrestling fans know him, huh? And I'm just sitting there and I'm hearing people talking about, oh, no, y'all mad, but y'all just WWE boss yet. You gotta go out your like. I know people who haven't watched wrestling since the Attitude Era. They know who Roman Reigns is, because have y'all not seen what Roman Reigns looks like? Like, what are we fucking talking? And my brain almost broke.
Yeah, that was just any other name I think you could get away with.
It's two people. And that you cannot say people don't know. That still work there. Becky Lynch is one, and Roman Reigns is the other.
Yeah.
Like, you could have said Cody Rhodes. You could have said Bobby Lashley. I mean, or Brock, you know, Brock Lesnar, but he's part-time. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
You could have said a million other people. You could have said Bianca Belair. That could have been a lie, because I think people forget Bianca Belair. Like, depending on what circle you're in, people know who Bianca Belair is. And depending on other circles, people know who Rhea Ripley is, probably for the wrong damn reasons. But they, and some people, they definitely know because they have a look that stands out. But no,
yeah.
You saying the spokesperson, a current spokesperson that faces WWE is only known in wrestling circles is bad. You think, like, I can't remember Drew McIntyre being on the Tonight Show. Like, you talk, like, come on now. It's Roman Reigns. Why do people think USA paid all that damn money for SmackDown? Why do you think SmackDown was getting those ratings? It was not because they love Gunther matches. No offense to the Imperium. Like, let's be honest with things. And I saw that, and I was just kind of like, I know people talking about wrestling fans being in the bubble, but that's the first time in a long time it really sunk in. Like, because for a long time, I always, even if I may disagree with Dave Meltzer, I always listen to him because I just had so much experience and stuff. But I think it's just, I don't know if it's because AEW started. That's kind of an easy thing to say. I just noticed this one day, I'm like, what are you talking about? And I just checked out. And I have never checked, and I have not checked back in. Because every now and then, him and Brian Alvarez say something that's just gobsmackingly stupid. That just makes you look like, you guys are like the pillars of this arrested journalism. This the best we got?
Yeah, unfortunately, because it's professional wrestling still. It might be respected more, but there still isn't any real... Yeah, that wrestling journalism thing is still just kind of weird to me. Like, I don't think I want to make a living at this, trying to do something like Stunt Granny is like a like viable job. Like, I read all of these stories and I'm like, I would almost feel like I'm stealing someone's money. There is not that much to write about when it comes to this stuff, really.
You know what? I don't want to just pick on wrestling because I noticed that with, like, sports, with journalism, period, like sports and entertainment, because, to be perfectly honest, it's like, you don't necessarily have to go to journalism school to be a journalist, but how many people went to school? Like, it's a lot of times there's people who went to school and they put the work in and they grind. Like, Cam is a perfect example. He was working the torch for a long ass time, doing a lot of work that most people didn't notice, and the right people noticed. And now, how did he get a job with the ring? I'm like, that shit was not an accident.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, he was doing work for a long ass time, just have to get noticed. And that man has a college degree and is educated. And there's some people that's putting that work in. But sometimes, like somebody, like, I would get a persona. I'm gonna pretend I'm Vince Russo.
Oh.
And I'm gonna be an asshole. And I'm going to attract a whole bunch of assholes and get a follow. I'm like, where's your credentials? I have an opinion about wrestling. I'm like, I have an opinion about plumbing. You're not going to ask me to fix your damn toilet. But it's like journalism, because it's not just that, because it happens in sports. Like a lot of times in football or basketball, you hear somebody say, it's like, you hear them say something. It's like, why are we listening? Like, who are you? Why are we listening to you?
Yeah. Who was that? Oh. Just even, was it Schefter going, oh, this is the worst injury for a fan base in decades or something like that when they were talking about Aaron Rodgers? And it's just we just have a guy who almost died on the field less than six months ago?
Yes. I'm like, we have had. People had heart attacks. People broken their goddamn necks.
What are you talking about, man?
Like, Aaron Rodgers didn't get his leg chopped off.
Yeah, he did not have one that I would categorize in that area is Joe Theismann's injury. Because that was straight, when you get a compound fracture, that is straight gruesome.
You didn't have to go that far. Alex Smith almost got his leg chopped off.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, like, and that happened during the game. It's kind of like, I can't remember the last time an injury, I'm like, Sean Taylor died. I'm sure that affected the damn Washington team more than Aaron Rodgers blowing out his Achilles after three plays. Like, I know we love Aaron Rodgers. And it's like,
yeah, you don't want to see anyone have that happen, but A, you know that happens because it's sports and people get injured.
Yeah, so. And I think too many times we just delve into hyperbole because it's like that gets noticed. So I don't want to pick on wrestling about that, but we talk about wrestling because there's no like set standard. It's like if you work hard enough, you can get a job. That's great.
And
that's great if you know what you're doing. But if you don't, then we just stuck with you being a gatekeeper. And it's like it's too many people that's like, hey, follow that ain't worth a damn.
Oh. No, there are too many of those, unfortunately.
But you know who is worth a damn? I'm mad that you wasted the time talking to Chris about it. Jade Cargill. It's worth a damn.
Maybe that's why they got rid of all these people, because they signed Jade Cargill to a huge contract.
You know what's funny? I'm sure maybe years ago we talked about Jade Cargill on AEW. It's like, boy, wait till she's on the WWE roster. They know what to do with her. Because this is one of those things where everybody knew this was coming. Except for apparently AEW. They're like, oh, I know she was going to be down in Florida right after we left. I'm like, you. From the moment she stepped on your screen, Triple H and HBK was like, yeah, I can't wait in 2 years from now to show what the WWE machine, because everything about her screams WWE. And we have had this conversation.
Yeah.
AEW pushed her, but they had no idea. Like, if they knew what they had with her, they would have never let out the goddamn door. There's no way in the world.
Yeah, well, and at some point during that TBS championship reign, it kind of became apparent that they weren't going to move to the next step with her, which was go for the main championship. And that's a decision that I just do not understand. Like, that's got to be one of the few things that would help her to convince her to stay.
You know the comparison I always used to make? They treated her like she was the Undertaker during the SmackDown era. Remember how the Undertaker would just have a feud with somebody that's weird? And he'd just feud with like a random monster, it's a random big man, and that person would be feuding with anybody else but the Undertaker. And then they wouldn't get to wrestle anybody else until they were done wrestling the Undertaker. That's how
No.
Jade Cargill was. Like, she wrestled in the Phantom Zone, and she would just wrestle somebody that didn't interact with anybody else on the show. And then once that
Yeah.
feud was done, then they would go feud with somebody else, and Jade Cargill would just wait for the next person to step in the Phantom Zone and wrestle her. And I'm like, how's she gonna get better if she's just getting 5 minute matches twice a month?
Yeah, and that was one of the other weird criticisms that I saw out there that I can't either confirm or deny. Like, everyone's like, oh, she didn't develop at all over there. And I'm like, I don't know if she was given the chance, and I'm not sure that their women's division is the place for that to happen.
Who's the workhorses there that's going to be putting the reps in? Exactly.
Yeah, I it's bad that even Britt Baker, her popularity has fallen off quite a bit because it's the same thing, and she just like no one has anything in that women's division. It's not
Don't
good.
get me started on Britt Baker. I have talked about her too many times.
Well,
You'll know how I
even with
feel
the
about
new
her.
stuff, like I watched most of Dynamite today, and you can tell that Saraya is not allowed to really wrestle the style of match that she wrestled when she was that level of popular in the
The doc, the
WWE.
doctors cleared me. I'm like, yeah, I bet they did. With their fingers crossed.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you're allowed to take three bumps each match, max. And I don't even think she takes that most of the
I
time.
will say this. I am a fan of Toni Storm's new gimmick. This whole
Yes.
Joan Crawford 1940s. I don't know what the. Like I guess it's like a silver screen film delusional icon. I don't
Yes.
know where she got it from. That I heard people talking about. It's like this was the first time I actually watched it, and I was laughing my ass off because I'm like, this is just so hilarious. Like she is 100% in the gimmick. It is insane. It is
Yeah,
so debilitated.
it is NXT weird. Like she would fit in the NXT universe right now.
And it's funny because it works because she can still wrestle. Like she's one of the
Oh.
people they have that's like a young age that
Yeah.
can wrestle. And I was mad when I normally don't care about women's matches. I was mad that when she didn't win. I'm like, Saraya can't. Saraya should have. I know why Saraya won. She should have never won. We have complained about your division is basically judged by the peak of what your world champion can do. And we complain too many times about Britt Baker, but at least Britt Baker, you know, you get a competent match. What is Saraya going to do, like, at this point?
Yeah, I understand her want to come back because, you know, her career got cut short, but this just isn't it, you know? Like, if you can't really do your job that well, like, why are you back?
I mean, because Tony Khan
gave her a lot of money.
Gave her a lot of money. And it's kind of like, yeah, I know Hikaru Shida was just holding it down during the pandemic, and but tough shit. We gonna give Saraya Elton John match, let her win in front of her family, and then deal with the consequences later. You know all those people. Remember when WWE was in Cardiff and everybody was like, "Oh, Drew need to win because he at home." That's how it would have looked had Drew won, because you would have won, and then who was you gonna wrestle? Sheamus. And then, oh, what are we going to do with Drew McIntyre? And you just would have flushed the bloodline storyline down the drain early because, oh, he home, and we got to make these home crowds happy. Like, it ain't just about the home crowd. It's about everybody. Like, if it would have made sense for her to win and she happened to be at home, great. We're not talking about the British Bulldog beating Bret Hart at Wembley. Like, that is not the storyline. It's just Saraya happened to be there. And I want her to have a happy. And I'm like, she is not a baby face. Why are we about making her happy? Oh, her mom. Her, like, her mom has watched her wrestle for a long ass time. I saw her fighting with my family.
like she was literally there when she started her career. Guys, we know she's seen her wrestle a lot.
And it's kind of like, when you make short-term, you make decisions for short-term profit, and you don't think about the long term, it tend to bite you in the ass in any walk of life, especially pro wrestling. But enough about them. Jay Cargill in WWE. I cannot wait and see, because one, she gonna get all the time. Like, they talking about, oh, we already got storyline. Of course they got storylines. HBK, like, you know what?
Yeah, like you said, they started drooling 2 years ago or something, knowing that contract is coming up,
because it's kind of like she can get the work in NXT, and they got plenty of people that can wrestle, and she will get plenty of time to learn and wrestle and become a whole complete character and, like, maximize her talent. And you know damn well her and Becky Lynch gonna have a match as a warm-up, because we already know the moment people talk about her NXT going to WWE, it's like, I can't wait to see her and Bianca Belair, because we've been saying that for 2 years, and it's like, before Bianca Belair leaves and either retires or goes to Hollywood, they will have a match, and it's going to look like something from the damn Avengers. And that is the difference between WWE and AEW when it comes to the women.
No.
The level of athleticism in the women in WWE, especially the younger women, is batshit insane. Like, AEW cannot compete when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy that the second most popular person in the WWE is, she's one of those Randy Orton types where she knows how to wrestle, like, she knows the technical end of wrestling so well, it hides the fact that she is not as athletic as pretty much
ever. I'm not going to insult Randy Orton like that by comparing Becky Lynch's athleticism to Randy Orton. We will not do that. How dare you? I get what you're saying, but I have told people all the time, Randy Orton is Bobby Eaton with modern-day nutrition. Like, Randy Orton is a world-class athlete that doesn't look like one, because he does everything. Like, you know what? I do my stuff smooth. Like, Randy Orton, people think Randy Orton is lazy because he doesn't got to do that clumsy shit like John Cena has to do. Like, Randy Orton knows exactly where he needs to be at all times. He rarely makes a mistake, and most of the time it's a mistake in the matches because somebody else's fault, and he will let you know that. Why do you think everybody say, I want Russell Randy Orton, because I know I can do my shit in my sleep? That's not from being clumsy. That's not from being like Becky Lynch is a try hard. Where it's just like, she has the athletic ability of a bar fighter, but she gonna maximize what she has. And yeah. But you put Becky Lynch in AEW, and she's probably like the technical wrestler fighter, the second or third best one behind Mercedes Martinez and probably Hikaru Shida. So, yeah.
Yeah, Sheeta's really stepped up. I really think that, yeah, that one was a bit of definitely a bummer. But anywho, off track again
Yeah, but no, I'm
from
just
the
looking
Jade
for,
stuff.
like, Jade Cargo looks like a superhero. And she's gonna have WWE's money and nutrition and just the whole package. And it's like, I would have been more worried 4 or 5 years ago, seeing all the stuff that, you know, formerly known Sasha Banks went through. But I saw how they pushed Bianca Belair, and when they had the TKO Holdings and they got the stock market, who was there? The wrestlers,
No.
Montez Ford and Bianca Belair. That was not random. That was this whole, oh, they happened to be in town. It's like they were chosen for a reason. Bianca Belair is her. That is their homegrown star. They built from scratch to become
Oh,
she is.
yeah.
Bianca Belair is famous. I know people say what they want. Like, non-wrestling people know who
Well,
she is.
and what else? They showed up at a couple of, so I mean they did that, but then didn't they do a couple other big events like
They were
they
at the
MTV
ESPYs
oh ESPYs.
and the MTV Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, what Bianca Belair doing during hiatus? She's living her best damn life.
She's getting exposure for the WWE is what she's doing.
Yeah, she is enjoying life.
Her
Like,
and her overly attractive husband are out there.
why do you think Montez Ford always says God is great on Twitter? Because he knows exactly who he married. I think WWE is doing better. This whole we're gonna expose our stars outside people and just let the chips fall they may. Because I saw Maxine Dupri at like some runway, and it's like,
Oh.
and it's kind of like they. It's not before. It was this whole, oh, you know, they get famous, they're gonna leave. It's like now. It's like they get famous, we all get famous. And if they leave,
Oh.
they leave. They can always come back, and it's like we can always find. I think they have confidence now. Like we can always find more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is kind of funny where sometimes you get the kind of lifers who are going to end up there a long time, but then you get the people that are there to kind of move along at some juncture. You know, I mean, it's half amazing that what's it, Xavier Woods hasn't moved on. That man has so much going on for himself that he probably doesn't really need to actually wrestle.
Xavier was like Jamie Foxx. He's good at everything he does to the point where it's like,
I
why is
hate
he
you.
wrestling? Like, he don't like, he's great at it, but it's
Yeah.
like, unless I doubt he'll ever be world champion. I mean, you never know, but it's like he has maximized what he can do in WWE, and he's done a lot more than I thought they would ever give him a chance to. But at this point, it's like, I don't think he want to do a 20-year life of like Kofi.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't think I would be shocked if he got that Kofi Mania type push.
I mean, you never know. I never thought Kofi was going to get it until he got it.
This is a valid point.
And I can easily say, I can't see it, but I'm like, they treat LA Knight like he's Stone Cold Steve Austin's son. Every damn week. Nobody, I don't give a damn what anybody say. Ain't nobody predict that. Even LA Knight walks around sometimes like, this happened to me. He can say what he want. Like, I knew this was going to happen because I had faith in myself. My ass. Like, I see him coming out another time. He looking at the crowd like,
Yeah, you are it. You are 40 years old. You did not think this was going to happen at 40 years old.
I'm still amazed at that. We have talked about it before. I'm like, how? I've never seen anything like that. Never.
Yeah, it's wild. It's kind of like one of those I guess I always think about that guy that was in Agents of Shield. Well, I guess he was in the Avengers movies first. Is it Clark Gregg?
Clark Gregg.
Yeah, the man kind of had a career, but all of a sudden he's in the Avengers movies and you can't stop seeing him.
I mean,
And he
like,
was like in his early 50s or something like that when he started
I
doing
can see it in
it.
Hollywood. I'm like, J.K. Simmons had a whole career and then became famous. Like, how do you
Oh.
have a second win in his late 50s? Like, I remember him from Oz. I remember he popped up on the episode of SVU, and I'm like, okay. And then he does Whiplash, and then he's J. Jonah Jameson, and then J.K. Simmons becomes a movie star. And I'm like, and it's still happening. Like, he's on one of the most pop, like, every I can't watch it. Like, I watch Invincible is one of the most popular shows Amazon has, and he's basically the damn star of that show. And it's kind of like, Hollywood, I guess, is kind of like, you know, you keep your head down, you can make it eventually. You might be in your 40s and 50s, but you might do it. Wrestling normally don't work that way, because I know they told the Boogeyman, like, you know, you was 31, you could have did something, but you 41, so I don't know what you're going to do. And LA Knight out there in his 40s with Tim's on, and they probably won't put the belt on him. So,
yeah, everyone is ready to strap him up for sure at this point.
I mean, it's wild where you see, man, somebody told you 3 years ago, four of the biggest single stars would be Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes, Gunther, and LA Knight. They was like, who died? Because I don't know which one is most unlikely, because it's kind of like Gunther. Whole thing is, Vince ain't going to push him. He's foreign and big.
And he was, maybe you say, a little soft.
Yeah, and you heard the thing where it's like, Vince was almost like, I'm going to job him out. And they had to talk him out of it. And now look at him now. He broke the Honky Tonk Man's record, and he's been the most, beside Roman Reigns, most celebrated champion. He made the Intercontinental title, like, prestigious. The person going to beat him is a big damn deal, and Gus is a big deal. And it's one of those things where it's like, you knew he could wrestle, but you saw what he looked like. And I know WWE isn't as stringent as it used to be as looks, but it's still wrestling. It's like, you know who in charge. Cody Rhodes was like, I have accepted the Cody Rhodes thing. It took me a long time, but this whole, he goes to WWE and he just turns into his dad. If his dad got respected, like, he's just really he's literally like, you know, if John Cena wore a suit.
Yeah, he is the American Dream 2023 version. You know?
This American patriotism thing, and it's not corny, it just works. The fans like him, the kids like him, the women like him. It's like, they just treat Cody's here. We're happy, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, how did this. You know what? Fuck it,
I still am surprised at just the level of popularity. Like, I'm still not in the he should have lost at WrestleMania camp, but he has not had any problems since then whatsoever because of it. It has helped that he's moved on to good stuff, and they've, kind of like Roman Reigns, they've done a good job of, if you want to call it protecting him, I'll just say protecting him. Like, you know, like, they have allowed his popularity to stay high despite that loss, and they don't always do that for people.
He is more popular than he was before the loss, because, and I think that Brock Lesnar feud helped, because like, people forget, Brock Lesnar ain't never put nobody over. And he put Cody Rhodes over. And when we say never, we mean never. Ain't no, I shake your hand because you, like, when has he ever done that in his life that we've seen?
Oh, yeah, the handshake?
The handshake and raising his hand up and the pointing. I'm like, he's never done that in his goddamn life. And he did that with Cody Rhodes. Yes, they know what they're doing with Cody Rhodes. Everybody singing his song. Everybody listening to him. Like, Cody Rhodes is the catalyst of WWE, and everything revolves around him. So, like, he will eventually get the title. He don't need it now. Uso is just this whole, the journey was so awesome. I tell people like this. People complain about Roman Reigns beating Cody Rhodes. Jey Uso came out at that pay-per-view with a SummerSlam and had everybody treating him like he's Eminem and 8 Mile. Why do you think people would, like, they would treat that man like a damn rock star? It's like, you would have never thought the Usos would have been single stars, and both of them are because of Roman Reigns.
Yeah, they have done a very good job of breaking them up without having the obligatory brother feud.
It's like
I
they know what they're
appreciate it.
doing. They are really doing this long-term storyline thing that just works on multiple level with multiple people, where it's like when you want to see stuff when it happens, it's going to hit instead of we're just doing it now. And I guess we can end with my favorite one, the self-destruction of Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins is basically acting like Batman. Yeah, I'm hurt. I'm gonna pretend I'm not. I don't need no help. Like, I cannot tell you how much I was
I need to
laughing.
save Gotham.
Because Seth Rollins talking about, I don't need no help. And then next thing you know, he has the ref in the headlock to take him to the locker room because he can't walk. And I'm like, you know what you're doing is stupid. And he knows, like, yeah, my back is hurt and I should be wrestling, but I'm a die on my shield because I'm a workhorse. And Shinsuke Nakamura is like, you a fucking fool. And you don't have any honor. Like, I know you out here doing this goofy stuff because you think that's what you're supposed to do. I'm like, I'm gonna break you in front of your family so your daughter you can't hug your daughter. What you gonna do about that? Like, Shinsuke Nakamura is really acting like the most rational supervillain around. I'm gonna beat you when I feel like it because I know you ain't going nowhere. What you gonna do about it?
Yeah, I don't know why it took this long, but I am glad this version of Shinsuke has shown up in the WWE because it's awesome.
You know what it is? Remember how they used to push Io Shirai in NXT? They used to let her cut promos in Japanese, and she's basically Akuma, like, I'm gonna beat you up. I don't care who I wrestle. Like, you goofy bitch, I'm gonna beat you with darkness. And she was just like a bully. And it's
Yeah.
like, if she wrestled a heel, she got cheered. If she wrestled a babyface, she got booed. But she never changed. Like, it's when they let people cut their promos in their own language, it works. And the best thing they did with him is have him cut pre-recorded promos in his native language, and he just comes off like the baddest villain alive. Because the funny thing is, nothing, Shinsuke Nakamura is telling the truth.
Oh.
He has not lied. He's like, I'm like, oh, hey, Chance Seth Rollins, I know he don't got no honor. You remember who broke up the Shield? He did. He always been looking for identity, and that's why he out here hurting himself trying to prove a point like a fool. And then, because, Seth all become out here and laughing and act like the Joker and giggling because everything a joke. He ain't been joking this feud. He has not been smiling. He just been like, yeah, you gonna try to break me, but I don't break. Yeah, my back hurt, but so what? I'm wondering, like, he ain't been a whole bunch of smiling. He ain't been cracking jokes. He's been determined. Like, I don't know if Shinsuke's gonna win. I think he should win, even if he's gonna have the belt for a little while, because I think he'd just be an awesome transitional champion. And just badass Shinsuke Nakamura being a rational anime bully is hilarious, especially when Ricochet minds his business.
Oh. Oh man.
Why are you gonna get mad that you got DQ if you hit that man with a chair? That's how the rules work.
Yeah, we are not in AEW, Ricochet. You're not allowed to use a chair and get away with it.
Why did they try to defend that on Raw?
I think that might have been the weirdest thing was that the announcers tried to defend the use of it. I'm like, huh? Like
Yeah.
what is going on here? Like, am I
Wait,
watching
man, wait,
AEW?
man. Like, we talk about Cole. Like, one person tried to use it, one person actually used it. Last time I checked, using a chair gets a DQ.
Yeah, I mean, how many times in the ring has someone slid in a belt and the first person misses with it and the second person connects and the ref sees it and they get DQ'd like a lot. I don't know what the count is. It's high.
But I like how they're using Ricochet as kind of like the fulcrum of this. Ricochet's basically fighting until Seth Rollins can, and because they know they have something Ricochet, which is wild because I didn't think they would ever get to that point.
Yeah, he's gotten a little traction recently. I feel like his promos have gotten better.
Yeah, she and Logan Paul do that. They care. I mean, they look at Ricochet. Like, I think the best thing that happened to him, and it's a shame that it ended, was that tag team with Braun Strowman. That whole feud with Braun Strowman is like the best thing that happened to Ricochet, which is hilarious because Braun, well, I'll do that flippy stuff because I'm a grown man. And
it starts a Twitter beef and turns into a good tag team on TV.
And you know what's funny? Ricochet beat him clean. It ain't nowhere in the world. I don't know, Vincent Van Cien is rolling his grave. Trying to tell me the Cruiserweight beat the Monster. Fair and square. And I'm like, and then I respect you. Let's be a team. And then it just worked. I still have no idea why that team worked. Like, I love watching them because it's just so, they seem like they had nothing in common.
Probably because they don't really have much in common.
But it just worked, and fans got behind them. They were chanting for them, and I'm like, that's the beauty thing. You think about wrestling where it's like you just watch. Sometimes things just happen, like Chad Gable becoming a folk hero after all this time. And although, why y'all making fun of his daughter crying when he lost? When he got choked up?
I don't think we made fun of the daughter. I mean, I'm not that insulting. I mean, I can get pretty bad, but...
You did. Well, boy, Twitter's having a field day. I'm glad that's what she did. And boy, I was laughing my ass off seeing that little girl cry. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? All she knows, her daddy got choked out. That's all we saw. She out there balling.
I love the investment. Like, I think I compared it to, like, you could tell when Cody Rhodes was getting beat up by Brock Lesnar that his mom's like, I've been in this wrestling business for, you know, longer than Cody's been alive. Like, I'm gonna play my part, but you can tell that she was trying to play a part. Gable's daughter not playing the part. She was 100% invested, and she was heartbroken that her dad did not win.
She should. And it's like, you knew he was going to win. That's just sad how it happened. And it was just, yeah, Gunter's an awesome villain. He's a prick. He a prick to everybody. He be bullying Imperial. Tomorrow. Stop focusing on these broads. You keep losing. And gets mad at, Giovanni Vinci used to talk. Why all of a sudden his gimmick is he never talks?
I don't know. They have really, because, yeah, he usually got, he was always the third mic. But they have stopped giving him the mic for quite some time at this juncture.
Like, his gimmick is, this guy, just he just ball. He never say nothing. Like, and Gunter getting mad, like, you said we'll be focused on the ring. You flirting with this woman and keep losing. Like, he gonna pull the belt on Lupe Kaiser again. We need to leave Maxine Dupree alone. get some W's again. But I just love Imperium because Gunter is just, I'm an asshole that loves wrestling. And if you don't love wrestling like I love wrestling, I'm gonna hurt you, including my own tag team, because I run a tight ship like I'm Nick Saban. he's an old-fashioned villain, and I like old-fashioned villain. He's not trying to be cool. He's not trying to be over or nothing like that. Like, I'm a prick. I like villains like that. Old-fashioned villains.
Oh man, yeah, he's definitely a good old-fashioned style villain.
So you want to end on a good note, but not WWE involved, because AEW had a good show.
Other than the fact that they came out of Grand Slam with a couple of injuries.
Yeah, I guess John Moxley gonna finally take his vacation.
That was one where I didn't see it, and I've been texting Jeremy about some stuff, and I'm like, oh, I was like, I thought it was kind of funny that the announcers are like, oh, it really looks like John Moxley got dinged on that first move by Phoenix. And I'm like, nah, guys, I think he really did get dinged. Like, look what's, like, you could tell almost right away that he was not moving the way that he normally does for a wrestling match.
Yes, and I know it's people just think, like, John Moxley, this whole wind-up doll just, like, bleeding because it's a weekday and stuff. But I'm like, it's a reason why you got to be careful with power drivers. And I know they, for the most part, they're safe, but I'm like, that's a move you don't want to mess up. That's the reason why.
Well, no, I think it's been, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but people think that it happened in that opening dive.
I mean, I'm not sure. I just know I saw that, how it ended. He felt his
dome. That did not look good either.
I know Phoenix is strong for his size, but Phoenix is still Ray Phoenix.
That and John Moxley has gotten a little burlier in his older age here. I'm not saying he's out of shape. I'm just saying that he's bigger than he was when he was Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, like, you know, he looked like a plumber that drinks. Like, fight. And it's like, you got to do certain things. I'm like, yeah, that was scary. I love the Claudio-Eddie Kingston match. Oh. It's just a whole man, because, like, Eddie Kingston just being the people's champ, and Claudio, like, I'm what wrestlers are supposed to look and act like, not you. And just having that long time beef where Eddie Kingston was a name I heard of, but I didn't know anything about him because I didn't watch any of ROH. So I had to kind of like learn on the fly. But if you just watch him for like 5 minutes, you get why people gravitate toward him, because he acts like, I will die for this. Like, I love wrestling so much. I'm going to die in this ring to show you how much I love it, because it means that much to me.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I know that I did see him once or twice on the indies because AIW likes to use him. And it was never something that I really got into, but this AEW run, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I'm at that point where it's just like, yeah, I understand why people dig this guy. Like, maybe I just wasn't seeing him at the right times, because, I mean, people did kind of joke about him just not giving a shit sometimes.
Yeah, and I could see that. And I'm like, he's the type of person where if you don't give a shit, you're going to get what you're going to get. So,
yeah.
But I saw that, and it's like,
he has given a lot of shits recently, and yeah, it's been great.
Like, I didn't get it when I first saw it, but I get it now. It's like, you know, it's the thing about wrestling where we talked about it. Everybody was trying to be Randy Orton, nobody was trying to be Dusty Rhodes. And it's like, you can be both. It's space for both. And he leans more toward Dusty. Like, if work rate means is, can you entertain somebody in the ring? It don't matter how you do it. It just matters if you can do it, if you do it at work. And Eddie Kingston is like, say what you want. It's entertaining. I don't know. It's like, it might look like Kevin James, the King of Queens, but it works. So I dig it. Like, I liked it. I was a fan of it. I was a fan of the Tony Storm match. Not the finish, but I was a fan of the match and how I broke up with Saraz. But it's like, you made me beat you. We were supposed to be friends. Because they were a team. Like, they were a faction. And what Tony Storm is like, I watched Gone with the Wind, and now
I think they kind of accurately described it on the show, where they're just like, she lost her marbles after losing to Hikaru Shida. And it's just like, yeah, it's kind of a fun storyline. Like, it's kind of weird and random, but
I love how you described that. She lost her marbles.
Yeah, oh, well, I mean, wouldn't that be what they're saying back in the 20s, or is that even maybe like 50s?
No, she lost her marbles. she spilled her beans in the layout. And it worked, because you know what? That has happened in wrestling before, right? Somebody takes a loss and just lose their mind, because, you know, I still laugh at the fact that people talk about that first John Cena Rock match. Do people not remember the aftermath of that? Like, the build-up second match, like, I lost to you, and then I kept losing matches. I got divorced. Like, I lost my own entry. Like, John Cena's turning to Al Bundy. He lost to fucking Miami. And I was just laughing. I was like, they really did this whole, I was winning till I wrestled you, and then I couldn't beat nobody. I got divorced in real life, and now I need to get my life in track. And I'm like, they gave my John Cena a midlife crisis because he lost a celebrity match. So, yeah, lose. You know, somehow losing does that. And I can see Toni Storm losing her marbles and just kind of like, you know, escaping reality. And I'm not a fan of MJF at all. At all. I think that shtick is straight out of ECW. But I have liked him more since the whole Adam Cole stuff, like, even though I don't want to.
Oh, yeah, it's a definitely transitioned into a different, officially a different character at this point.
Yeah, because he's like this almost, I used to be a bully, and now I'm embracing trying to be a decent person, even though it's not my nature.
It's almost. Yeah, and I'm still cheating, so you won't forget why you kind of loved me in the first place.
Yeah, like I'm an asshole, but I'm your asshole now, and the fans is going along with it. And he had a good match with Samoa Joe, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, the fact that Samoa Joe shook his hand was surprising, because Samoa Joe a prick too, so. But I just like how they did this whole, yeah, Samoa Joe pushed him in NXT years ago, and now he's getting revenge because he pushed him again. Yeah, only in pro wrestling, specifically AEW, is kind of like everything counts, and it's like something that happened in a company that we don't even like, not even our company, we didn't even exist in. You don't use that as a storyline. I was like, I like how wrestling does that, because I like how Michael Cole talking about, oh, I'm, you know, Shinsuke did this in New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, and everything, and you know, I remember Io Sky was in Stardom, and I'm like. Well, Vince McMahon would have shot somebody who used to talk like that back in the day. Like, if you weren't in WWE, you did not exist. And now it's kind of like, everybody acknowledges everybody. It's like, WWE talks about AEW, AEW talks about WWE. It's like, they treat everybody like we're, like, no, they'll still have their jokes, but people talk, they talk to the fan like, look, we know y'all watch everything. We're not going to talk to y'all like y'all idiots. Like, we know the deal. It's enough money for everybody. And I think, I want to say that started the whole Dixie Carter stuff. Like, all of a sudden, it was like, it was okay to talk about TNA. And then it just kind of like gradually went from there. So now when Michael Cole talks about stuff that happens in, you know, Stardom, I'm like, okay, Michael Cole is a nerd that watches wrestling. that really watches wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, because what was that? Was it the, we always go back to that Mae Young classic, I think, that he did on the network, where it's just like, holy shit, Michael Cole actually knows it. Like, I feel like that was one of those, there had still been some lingering issues with him being like on the WrestleMania card, and all of a sudden you're just like, this man really knows wrestling.
He knows his stuff. And he talked about how it's like, yeah, I grew up watching Terry Funk matches. And I'm like, you did? But then you hear how he talking. It's like, it's a perfect way to end. Because I know we talked about before. When they let Michael Cole start being himself, I got mad. You want to know I got mad? Because I'm like, we could have had this for a damn decade.
Oh, my God.
You can imagine how different things would be. They're like, just... Vince, shut up. Let Michael Cole be himself.
You would not have needed to talk me into, like, when he originally got named, like, the voice of the WWE, it's just like, get the fuck out of here. Now it's just like, no shit, Batman. He's the voice of the WWE.
Man, it went from Manfred to TKO. It was like, look, we're going to have Michael Cole in all the damn shows because Michael Cole is WWE. Get this Irish guy out of here. He ain't ready yet. And it's funny because Michael Cole on SmackDown is like clean. No, Michael Cole on Raw is like, I got the suit on. I'm with Wade Barrett. I'm clean cut Michael Cole. Michael Cole on SmackDown is just like Tony Schiavone at WCW. Oh. He had Hawaiian shirts and sneakers on. He's like, I'm doing this for a favor.
I do love that he takes a back seat in the play calling duties and has been the Keller guy. Because for whatever reason, no one can stand up to Corey Graves, but Michael Cole's like, yeah, I'm just actually going to trade barbs with you now because I'm evidently the only one on the roster that can do this.
It's just amazing how Michael Cole has become like the face of WWE announcing. Everybody talking about, you know, Michael Cole taught me how to do this. And I, you know, Michael Cole made me feel comfortable. And I wasn't able to do this to Michael Cole. And it's like, yeah. And you hear how Michael Cole talks. Like, Michael Cole is a wrestling nerd. Like, oh, a real wrestling nerd that you can tell. And it'll come off like put upon like Matt Stryker was like, I'm going to say this so I can sound smart. Michael Cole is like, I'm going to tell you this just in case fans don't know. And he'd be dropping stuff, and it's like, he'd be doing some deep cuts. Like, I'm a hipster wrestling nerd. And it's just wild hearing that on WWE TV, because I know we've been hearing that for a while, and I still can't wrap my head about it. It's like, all this, you know, Vince really in charge? I'm like, no, he not. We need to nip that shit in the butt. There ain't no way in the world Gunter would have beat the Honky Tonk Man record if it was up to Vince McMahon. I know Vince McMahon was like fiddling around with stuff and everything, but it is too many people who would have had no business being put. You think Shinsuke Nakamura would be doing this right now?
It's one of those ones where you can definitely. There are times where you're just like, this feels like a Vince. Like, that's the way I feel now, where it's just like there are certain aspects where I'm like, oh, this was a Vince move. You yes, know, like where, like, he, stuff. Yeah, like, he called in a, you know, like, he's just like, hey, I really want an input. There are other things, like you said, like, there's no way that Shinsuke stuff is on TV without Triple H actually in charge.
And it's working. And people talk about, wow, how come they didn't do that before? You know why they didn't do that before? You know who was in charge?
Yeah, don't fool yourselves. Vince might do some editing these days, but he is not full in charge. There's a big difference between those two things.
It's like all of a sudden Asuka started just talking Japanese. She's cutting promos in Japanese during the pandemic. It's like, yeah, that's because Vince, like, y'all do what y'all want. Nobody watching it. Oh. And I know one day they need to do a documentary about both WWE and AEW during COVID, because it feel like a fever dream. Like some of the stuff that happened, like I forgot all about that Elimination Chamber match they had in Titan Towers in Stanford.
That was Money in the Bank.
No, Money in the Bank. Yeah, Money in the Bank. Like Baron Corbin threw two people. You know, somebody actually called the cops. Because they thought Baron Corbin really murdered Rey Mysterio.
Oh my gosh. I love to hear it, I guess. I'm not sure that I've heard that before, but that's hilarious that people are still that invested in wrestling that they think that might have been true.
I'll just say, it's like, that is one. I'm going to rewatch that match because that shit was hilarious.
Yeah, I just remember, because was it Asuka that took out Rey in the one segment?
Shayna Baszler choked Rey out.
Oh, that's what
it was. He's like, you in the wrong locker room, chump. It was kind of like, how are we going to work around what we can't do? And they did it, and I'm like, I know they haven't done it since, because it's kind of like the doing that in front of a live audience is kind of like, people not gonna sit around for 30 minutes watching that. So
like that was definitely they made the best out of the circumstances that they were given. And you don't want to be in those circumstances.
That match, the Boneyard Brawl with the Undertaker AJ Styles, I love that match so much. Even though I had I don't know why I just did, because it's like, this feels like a music. This feels like a. It's funny where they've done stuff like that before and it never felt right. Because then when the New Day fought the Wyatts, that felt like a hate crime. When they did that match, I'm like, the New Day wanted to get lynched. And this back was town. I'm like, that. Randy Orton set Bray Wyatt's house on fire and did the pose, I was laughing. I don't know why I was like, yeah, Randy Orton is a maniac. Randy Orton definitely has Christian Bale and American Psycho vibes because he's this clean-cut pretty boy that is a lunatic. Like, he RKOs women, he sets folks on fire, and he brags about it. Like, why do you think people be making jokes about Rhea Ripley only getting away with this because Randy Orton been hurt? He to put an end to this shit 6 months ago.
Oh, that would have been pretty hilarious to watch her eat an RKO.
And the fact that they took Randy Orton's back in, he was at the performance center this week. So,
no.
Yeah, so he might be coming back, so Rhea Ripley better watch it. Yeah, I got hurt. My ass is like, you know, the writing on the wall. And what was the other? Oh, and of course, rest in peace, the Bray Wyatt John Cena match at Mania.
Oh.
Basically fighting within the psyche of John Cena. I still don't know who put that, like, that was a damn masterpiece. Because, like, John Cena, this is your life. What if you joined the NWO? What if you did this? And I'm like, did he just kill John Cena? It felt like a Batman episode. I'm like,
yeah, that was one of the few successfully weird Bray Wyatt matches.
Yes, that was the most successful one he had because it was kind of like he was... John Cena was fighting his soul.
Yeah.
John Cena lost, like, so John Cena lost as he's never coming. Like, that match was just, the fact that they did that is just mind-boggling. And then how they put it together is like, it's a, you know, you can say what you want about Bray Wyatt, rest in peace, but it was kind of like, when it worked, it worked. It was definitely a hit-and-miss thing, but it was like, the hits hit, and that was a definitely hit, because that shit was entertaining. Extremely entertaining. And I don't know if we'll get those again. We probably won't, but
I miss
stuff like this. Like, maybe NXT will do it like they had NXT Underground. So
they do a lot more wacky shit in NXT. I mean, you know, we had people getting interviewed in jailhouses recently, so nothing is out of the pale there.
If you win this match, you get out of jail early. and now they're tag team champs. I'm like, you know what? The American justice system needs to work like that. Forget Bale. Win this tag match.
If your brother can win a tag match against the defendant's brother, you get out of jail.
That was just so damn funny because like, that actually happened and we just did it with a straight face. But one last thing we can go because it's really the NXT. I am really liking this JC Jane, the Hell Chase Academy stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's another one of those stories where it's just like that. There is some movie trope type stuff, and that's one to me where, you know, they're turning the good girl into a bad girl. And, it, you know, it feels like a teen rom-com situation. It helps that you have someone who is legitimately 20 years old.
I'm not a little kid, I'm a grown woman.
Being guided by someone who is at least, I don't know what her actual age is, but I'm going to say 24.
JC Jane, I think she's like a mid to late 20s. I'm not sure, but it's funny because Stacey Jane looks like the bad, like she'd be the bad girl in a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode. Like she's from the wrong side of the tracks. She probably smokes cigarettes and hang with boys. And like Thea's like, oh, she's innocent and she just wanted to wrestle. And the whole thing is just hilarious because is JC Jane being the bad girl or is he just telling Thea Hale to like stand up for yourself? No.
Yeah. She mostly is just telling her to stand up for herself.
Yeah, like, and stop letting these men tell you what to do. You're an adult. I want to let you embrace being an adult, and it's just wild. Like, I can't wait to see what slutty outfit they have her in. It's probably gonna look like a regular NXT outfit, but on Thea Hale, it's just gonna look weird because Thea Hale is 19 and she looks 19. And I'm like, yeah. And it's funny where I didn't know what Toxic Attraction was going to do when they split apart, but it's they both doing different things because what's the other one?
GG.
Gigi Dolin's just a lunatic. Like,
If they flip her to being a heel, I think she's going to be a lot better off, because the whole lunatic thing doesn't usually hit as a baby face.
Yeah, only Liv Morgan can do that. Like that. She already got that cornered down. But it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't blame Gigi Dolin. I'm going to get, you know, get revenge on Blair Davenport. Like, he was beating up everybody in the locker room. Now you know how I feel. And like, who are you fooling? You gonna wear a mask, and as soon as you take off your hoodie, you see all this orange hair. Who else could it be? NXT was orange hair just flying around. But I just like stuff like that. Like, it makes little simple stuff that NXT does has me invested. Because like, what's gonna happen next week? Tune in next week. Like, I'm glad Von Wagner isn't dead. I wonder how long it's going to take for him to come back from that Kim murder. Because they made me care about Von Wagner, and I never cared about Von Wagner. And that was a long-ass storyline with him and Robert Stone. Like, a long time. Each week is like something new. You don't talk about your past, don't worry about it. What's this picture? What happened? I told you not to talk about it. All right, we'll talk about it. Yeah, I had brain surgery when I was a baby. I always look this way. I'm trying to overcome it. Should have talked about, I didn't want people to judge me. I'm your friend. All right, let's put somebody through a table. What is this Disney monster nonsense that's working? Like, it's really, like, it's like, yes, you can be a human, Vaughn. We're going to respect. Like, they made Robert Stone sympathetic. That man was an asshole for so long in NXT, and they made him into this sympathetic manager. Like, he is Von Wagner's only friend. And it's NXT is the master of things that has no business working. That's what NXT is.
Very well said, sir. Very well said. Oh, so I guess it's time to talk about beer then. I mean, yes. That feels like the end of things. Should one happen to find themselves out in Indianapolis, Metazoa Brewing is quite tasty. Tonight's Bell Time beer was their Trash Panda Vanilla Latte Blonde Ale. So they essentially did the blonde stout kind of thing with this and used some roasted malt in there along with some normal malt so that there's a little bit of sweetness and a little bit of vanilla, obviously. And it's a nice light 5.3% ABV beer that, well, quite frankly, I finished all 16 ounces during the show here. And that does not always happen. So this is a very good beer. And if you're out in Indy, I say go pay them a visit. Very, very good beers out there. So I am at DeFrango11. He is at Philly Drugs. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Google. Shahid, send us on out of here.
Well, for Kevin DeFrango, I am a man that does not drink beer, so I don't know. I sounds good. I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and we are out.